So welcome once again to worship. Welcome in the name of Jesus, who is present with each one of us through the power of the Holy Spirit of God. We've had another busy week this week. The weather has been great, but it's also, as with many businesses in town, our sales are below this time last year. Our thanks again to Margaret and Caroline and Michael for their help. Thursday was Kathy's birthday, so we all shared a birthday cake with her. This week, Elsie will be travelling to the family in South Africa, so we will be praying for her safety and comfort as she travels. Now I'd like to invite you all to sit quietly for a moment and just think about your spiritual journey over the past week. Just lay before the Lord how you're feeling as we enter into worship. And be ready now to give the Lord your full attention as we praise and worship him. So let us come together in one spirit to share in God's love. For in moments like these, we sing out a song. We sing out a love song to Jesus and lift up our hands to the Lord. Let's sing in moments like these. Brothers and sisters in Christ, peace to you and grace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. The psalmist writes in Psalm 67, May God be gracious to us and bless us, and make his face shine on us, so that your ways may be known on earth, your salvation among all nations. May the peoples praise you, God. May all the peoples praise you. May the nations be glad and sing for joy, for you rule the peoples with equity, and guide the nations of the earth. May the peoples praise you, God. May all the peoples praise you. The land yields its harvest. God, our God, blesses us. May God bless us still, so that all the ends of the earth will fear him. Well, the psalmist makes it perfectly clear that it's only when all the people praise and worship the one true God will we live lives of faith and be blessed by God. And so be at peace with each other. You may recall that I said last week that it's only when everyone is ruled by God that there will be true peace in this world we inhabit. However, there are so many things that cut us off from God, and we shall see in our reading from Matthew's Gospel that uncleanliness cuts people off from God. And this is not about not washing your bodies, but about not having a clean heart. And keeping a clean heart in today's society is not easy. In fact, it's never been easy. but we have no need to fear, for we know we can be kept safe in God's hands. Let us come to our God now in prayer. Let's pray. Gracious God, your tender, kind, compassionate love hugs the whole of your creation. May we let that love heal us and keep us safe from all that seeks to corrupt us as we journey through this life. May we live lives of faith despite all that is going on around us. Lord, make yourself known as we approach you in prayer. Speak to us through the reading of Scripture. Move us as we sing your praise in hymns and songs. Challenge us as we listen to the preaching of the word. Stir us into action as we offer ourselves again to you. Be gracious to us, O God, and bless us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's sing, "You Are the King of Glory." So today we continue our theme, Living Lives of Faith. So often as we go through this life, our faith is severely tested by the temptations we face almost every day. As I keep saying, we live in a very corrupt world. And the tragic thing is that this is not how we were created to live. You only have to look around at the marvels of creation to know that God created a perfect world, but we have allowed sin to spoil it, and us in the process. It's at such times that we need to be reminded to live lives of faith. It's at such times when we have to understand that everything depends only on God's steadfast love. Today we shall be hearing more words from the Apostle Paul's letter to the Romans. You know, what the Apostle Paul is so concerned about is those people, especially the very descendants of Abraham, who have heard that Jesus is the Messiah, even seen him in action, but have failed to take that leap of faith and believe. Key theme for Paul is that all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Indeed, the first section of Romans describes the sinfulness of both Gentiles and Jews. Paul is reminding us that no one is saved by their own capacity to turn away from sin. Everyone needs the saving power of Christ. And then in our reading from Matthew's Gospel, Jesus is at pains to explain to his disciples that uncleanness cuts people off from God. Just as the poles of a magnet repel one another, so God's purity is repelled by uncleanness. It's that image that lies at the heart of the Pharisees' concern with uncleanliness, which provides the context for today's reading. Jesus tries to tell them that simply washing your hands or your body does not clean the heart. It's evil thoughts leading to evil actions that corrupt someone. In other words, it's what comes from within, from the heart. So today we shall have as our theme a clean heart. And the only way to truly have a clean heart is to have faith, live lives of faith. Let us pray. Lord, we praise you that you are a God who loves. You have given us a marvellous world to live in and share with all your people. You, O God, love everyone equally. And we thank you that we are all unique. We thank you that each one of us has so much to give and to receive from each other. Thank you for each new experience that you give us. Thank you, Lord. Amen. So all hail the power of Jesus' name. Let angels prostrate fall. Bring forth the royal diadem and crown him Lord of all. Let's sing all hail the power of Jesus' name. So the psalmist writes, may God be gracious to us and bless us and make his face shine on us, so that your ways may be known on earth. What has always amazed me since I first came to faith is that we just don't need to look very far to see how God created us to live. In fact, it's all spelt out in the Bible. And we don't have to be a professor or other such learned person to understand that if we all lived as we were created to live, we would be living in heaven on earth. Peace, glorious peace, would surround us each and every day. What a wonderful thought. But as we know from the book of Genesis, sin crept into our lives from the very beginning of time. And we have a daily battle to fight it off. Of course, God knows this and is always there for us. He never rejects us, no matter how far we stray. He is always waiting patiently for us to see the error of our ways. Let us pray. Lord, trusting in your promise not to reject us, we make our confession to you, knowing that we have let you down, that we have spoken out of turn, and kept silent when we could have spoken out. Trusting in your promise not to reject us, we confess to you that we fear your judgment, and we are afraid of letting you down again. Yet you love us more than we have the right to expect. You offer forgiveness and renewal, and the chance to begin again. So we trust in you and your promises. Thank you for your forgiving of our selfishness. You forgive us, Lord, when our faith is selective, when we choose the bits we like and ignore the difficult things. Thank you for forgiving our willful ignorance. Thank you for being the God of forgiveness, with your heart ever open to our penitence and our will to do better. And Lord, you alone are our strength and our shield. To you alone may our spirit yield. You alone are our heart's desire. And indeed, we long to worship you. Thank you, Lord, for our souls do long after you. Amen. Let's sing As the Deer Pants for the Water.
Strength.
You alone are my strength.
let us once again come to God in prayer. Let's pray. Lord, we come before you to pray for all those people for whom taking risks is a way of life, especially those taking risks to spread the good news of Christ. And we pray from the heart for those impacted by severe weather and ongoing drought, for the people suffering earthquakes, for those across Europe and Canada whose lives have been devastated by wildfires, for farmers in this country and the firefighters taking risking their lives day after day. God of peace, we pray from the heart for those impacted so terribly by violence and conflict, those places that make the headlines and those that are forgotten. We remember especially children traumatized by all they've seen and all that they have lost. We pray for those who are displaced because of war. We pray once again for peace in Ukraine, Gaza, and the Middle East. And we remember especially the people of Sudan in their desperation and their suffering. Lord, the news reports numbers, but you, Lord, know each person's name and the hopes of their hearts. God, we are all your people, young or old. We pray for those waiting for exam results, those who've received them, and for those who will be delighted and are confident about their next steps, and those who will be devastated and feel lost. We pray for all young people struggling to find their place in the world. And we pray for those who feel their life is slipping away, for those who are forgotten now they are older, for those who have lost their independence, and for those struggling to come to terms with diminishing mobility and declining health. Lord, reveal yourself to them and us and keep us all in your loving arms. Lord, we pray for families that are estranged, for those whose families have been torn apart by violence, deceit or betrayal, for those who have family members struggling with addiction, or those struggling with debt, and for those who, for whatever reason, have found themselves alone and in crisis. Lord, reveal yourself to them and to us, and keep us all in your loving arms. Lord, we pray for our own families, for our friends, and all those we worship alongside and pray with and for. We pray for those who guide and shape our lives. We continue to pray for the leaders of all the nations as they work to find a way forward for the people they represent, especially our own government. Lord, we pray for those with the responsibility of shaping the life of our churches, and we pray for unity. Give us all strength, patience, and perseverance. Give us generosity and imagination. Above all, ground us in the certainty that your love is there for all eternity. And Lord, we pray for those who have no one to pray for them by name. You know who they are, and you will comfort them. And now, Lord, we hold before you in love and prayer our needs and the needs of those we know who are ill or suffering at this time, and for all who care for them. Lord, we pray for Elsie as she journeys to the family in South Africa this week. And Lord, speak refreshment, assurance and warmth over lives afflicted by exhaustion and illness. Speak calm, gentleness and comfort over lives broken by grief and loss. Speak power, anointing and healing over each one of us. And give us all the courage to step out in faith each new day that you grant us. And Lord, as you taught us, so we pray together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen. Lord, we ask our prayers in the precious name of Jesus. Amen. Let's sing, I the Lord of Sea and Sky.
I the Lord of Sea and Sky. save. I who made the stars of night, I will make the darkness bright. Who will bear my light to them? Whom shall I send?
Here I am, Lord. This is I, Lord. I have heard you calling in the night. I will go, Lord, if you lead me. I will hold your people in my heart.
I, the Lord of snow and rain, I have borne my people's pain. I have wept for love of them, they turn away. I will break their hearts of stone, give them hearts for love alone. I will speak my word to them, whom shall I send?
Here I am.
Tend the poor and lame, I will set a feast for them, my hand will save. Finest bread I will provide, till their hearts be satisfied. I will give my life to them, whom shall I send?
Pause to make our offering to the Lord. Although the month of August started well in terms of income from the community outreach, we are noticing that, as are many other businesses in town, that numbers are down on this time last year. But we do thank the Lord for a provision to enable us to continue with the work he has led us to do. And I want to thank all of you who continue your tithing, both in terms of money and the donations of items for us to sell in the charity shop. I especially want to thank all of you who are tithing your time by the help you are giving in helping run our community outreach. It's a lot of time and commitment, so thank you. Let us pray. Lord, bless the offering of our lives and our resources that we make as we use the wonderful gift of your Holy Spirit to care for your people and grow your kingdom here on earth, trusting that you will provide all we need to continue your work. Amen. Well, as I'm sure you know by now, this month we have as our theme Living Lives of Faith, and already we've explored how we must use all the resources that God has provided each of us to grow the kingdom of God, no matter how small or large they may be. And last week we explored how so often this requires that we simply step out in faith. Faith is about living with uncertainty. which is very much against our human nature. We do so like to be in control. Faith invites us to leave our comfort zone and risk experiencing feelings of unease. We saw last week how even the faith of Jesus' disciple Peter is seen to be lacking. In our reading today from Matthew's Gospel, Jesus has two tricky encounters. First with the Pharisees, then with a Canaanite woman, that seem to be linked by food. In fact, the link is a lot deeper. It's actually about faith and membership of God's people. And Jesus spells out in no uncertain terms how we must all live lives of faith. He says, "Listen and understand. What goes into someone's mouth does not defile them, but what comes out of their mouth, that is what defiles them." And then he goes on to explain that out of the heart come evil thoughts. So if we are to live lives of faith, we must have a clean heart. And the second part of the account we are to hear picks up on the disciples once again as Jesus tries to demonstrate that they cannot turn people away and that he was sent to the lost sheep of Israel. Jesus challenges our small notions of who God loves. Let's hear now from Matthew's Gospel.
The reading is from Matthew chapter 15, verses 10 to 28. Jesus called the crowd to him and said, "Listen and understand. What goes into someone's mouth does not defile them, but what comes out of their mouth, that is what defiles them." Then the disciples came to him and asked, "Do you know what the Pharisees were offended when they heard this?" He replied, "Every plant that my heavenly Father has not planted will be pulled up by the roots. Leave them. They are blind guides. If the blind lead the blind, both will fall into a pit." Peter said, "Explain the parable to us." "Are you still so dull?" Jesus asked them. "Don't you see that whatever enters the mouth goes into the stomach and then taken out of the body? But the things that come out of a person's mouth come from the heart, and these defile them. For out of the heart come evil thoughts, murder, adultery, sexual immorality, theft, false testimony, slander. These are what defile a person, but eating with unwashed hands does not defile them." Leaving that place, Jesus withdrew to the region of Tyre and Sidon. A Canaanite woman from that vicinity came to him crying out, "Lord, Son of David, have mercy on me. My daughter is demon-possessed and suffering terribly." Jesus did not answer a word. So his disciples came to him and urged him, "Send her away, for she keeps crying out after us." He answered, "I was sent only to the lost sheep of Israel." The woman came and knelt before him. "Lord, help me," she said. He replied, "It is not right to take the children's bread and toss it to the dogs." "Yes, it is, Lord," she said. "Even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from their master's table." Then Jesus said to her, "Woman, you have great faith. Your request is granted." And her daughter was healed at that moment. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Amen.
So what Jesus is saying is, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see our God. The secret of the Lord is theirs. Their soul is Christ's abode. Let's sing that now. Blessed are the pure in heart.
Thank you.
Well, as we've seen in previous weeks, what the Apostle Paul is so concerned about is those people, especially the very descendants of Abraham, who have heard that Jesus is the Messiah, even seen him in action, but have failed to take that leap of faith and believe. The key theme for Paul is that all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. The first section of Romans describes the sinfulness of both Gentiles and Jews. And he's at pains to remind us that no one is saved by their own capacity to turn away from sin. Everyone needs the saving power of Christ. So in our passage today from Paul's letter to the Romans, Paul strongly rejects any suggestion that God has abandoned the Jews. His message is that God's mercy is inclusive. If everyone is disobedient, this enables God to have mercy on us all. So it would seem that actually disobedience becomes a channel for God's blessing. Let's hear now from Romans chapter 11.
Romans chapter 11, verses 1 to 2 and 29 to 32. I ask then, did God reject his people? By no means. I am an Israelite myself, a descendant of Abram from the tribe of Benjamin. God did not reject his people whom he foreknew. Don't you know that the scripture says in the passage about Elijah how he appealed to God against Israel? For God's gifts and his call are irrevocable. Just as you who were at one time disobedient to God have now received mercy as a result of their disobedience, so they too have now become disobedient, in order that they too may now receive mercy as a result of God's mercy to you. For God has bound all men over to disobedience so that he may have mercy on them all. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Amen.
So Jesus says in no uncertain terms, for out of the heart comes evil thoughts, murder, adultery, sexual immorality, theft, false testimony, slander. These are what defiles a person. But eating with unwashed hands does not defile them. As elsewhere in this gospel, Jesus is saying to those who put a huge ritual emphasis on bodily uncleanliness that they should not be concerned for purity on the outside of a person, but far more importantly, they should be concerned about what is inside a person. Or more specifically, what is in a person's heart. And we could extend that to include their thoughts. It's evil thoughts leading to evil actions that corrupt someone. Such uncleanness cuts people off from God. God's purity is repelled by uncleanness. Jesus' message directed at the heart of the Pharisees' ritual concern over uncleanliness. The chapter actually begins with an argument about washing hands before eating. But this is not about modern thinking about hygiene. It all revolves around a ritual and potential for spiritual uncleanliness. Clean hands, clean hearts. Jesus reveals that what it really means to be pure. He is actually saying that it's more important to have a clean heart than clean hands. Oh, don't get me wrong. I'm not saying that we don't have to have clean hands or especially clean fingernails. That's the real issue for Elsie. I agree, of course, washing your hands before you eat is generally still a good idea. And Jesus is not trying to undo all your good hygiene. What Jesus is saying is, okay, have clean hands. But in order to live lives of faith, we need a clean heart. What he's trying to undo is the idea that true, deep purity cannot be found in hollow actions or soap and water. Rather, it is something that comes from within. If you think about it, this is just so true. And it requires that we each examine ourselves, for out of the heart come evil thoughts. Well, I'm not suggesting that any of you are actually guilty of murder, adultery, sexual immorality, theft, false testimony, or slander. But if we're truly honest with ourselves, we are guilty of having evil thoughts. On the face of it, they may seem harmless thoughts, but have them we all do, even if it's simply actually thinking badly about someone. In fact, this is what Jesus tries to demonstrate in the second part of the reading we heard from Matthew's Gospel. This account centres on a woman on the margins of mainstream society, who was so desperate for Jesus to heal her daughter that she would and did do anything to get to Jesus. Matthew identifies the woman as a Canaanite, a group that was traditionally an enemy of Israel. For that reason, and because of her gender, observant Jews would have seen her as likely to be unclean. From running after Jesus and the disciples, she then kneels in front of him, physically obstructing him. The disciples and even Jesus himself regard her as a nuisance. Yet the words that come from her lips reveal the purity of her heart. She addresses Jesus like a disciple, calling him Lord 3 times. And she's quick to challenge the rejection of the disciples. Perhaps her referring to Jesus as son of David would have reminded Jesus and the disciples of God's promise to Abram that through you, all the nations of the earth shall be blessed. All the nations of the earth. Jesus addresses her respectfully. Woman, you have a great faith. Your request is granted. And then he actually heals her daughter. This demonstrated the truth of what he said earlier. If impure thoughts lead to impure words, then words can also reveal purity of heart. And so the woman receives God's inclusive blessing. You know, you don't have to look far in the world around us to sense the deep longing for a consistency between an individual's stated values or their hearts and their actions. We can demonstrate all the right things in the practicing of our faith, but if we do so with cold, unchanged hearts, then it's meaningless. The Pharisees are quick to spot the perceived inconsistency of Jesus' disciples regarding the ritual washing, but they're blind to their own iniquity. You know, we should all be considering where our hearts are less than pure in certain areas, particularly with regards to our attitude to other people, where we have may become something of a Pharisee, interested in our own perceived perfection while looking down on others who we believe to be unclean, even if we wouldn't quite use that kind of language. Through this passage from the Gospel, we are all invited to demonstrate humility in all parts of our lives, being slower to judge and condemn and quicker to listen is a good place to start. We can't be perfect, but we can be cleansed by the one who is. We may not think we are in the category of murder, adultery, sexual immorality, theft, and so this message is not for us. But what about false testimony, slander? What about even having evil thoughts? You know, it's pretty clear from what Jesus is saying that we don't actually have to commit a crime or wrongdoing to be sinners. But just thinking about things that are condemned by God is also a sin. So we must have and strive to have a clean heart. We can't live lives of faith if inwardly we are at odds with people, even if they don't behave the way we would expect them to, especially towards us. God created everyone. He gave us all very concise instructions as to how we should live out this life. Yes, I know that many people don't follow the rules, but it's not our responsibility to make judgments. We have to first examine our own lives, and especially our thoughts. If we are entirely honest with ourselves and with God, we each fall short of perfection in one way or another. So we must keep on examining ourselves before we go charging in against other people. Well, that's not to say we shouldn't want to help other people live as God would have them live. But, you know, the buck starts with us. We must strive to keep our hearts clean, for we all are subject to the power of sin, even if it's just in our hearts. But it's not all doom and gloom, for in our struggle to keep our hearts clean, we have a wonderful helper. God knows the struggles we have, and he doesn't ever reject us. Remember what the Apostle Paul wrote to the Romans. I ask then, did God reject his people? By no means. You who were at one time disobedient to God have now received mercy. Of course, that mercy is the sacrifice God made for the entire human race by placing himself as the human body of Jesus and taking all our sins upon himself on the cross. Yes, we all sin. And not by just what we do, but by what we say and by the thoughts we have. This puts sin in a totally new sphere, and none of us are immune. As I said, we can't be perfect, but we can be cleansed by the one who is, if we want to be. And that's the key, if we want to be. The tragic thing is, in today's world, more and more people just don't want to be cleansed. Of course, that is until they get caught out. Then they're just so quick to look for help and sympathy, even ask for prayer, would you believe? The message for all of us is clear. First, look at yourself. If your heart is as clean as it should be, if not, start there. Then move on to help other people examine their own hearts. Of course, they won't be interested in us if they detect that our hearts are not as clean as they should be. So where does evil come from? Well, that's a big question. Jesus says it comes from within, from who we are. But looking at today's gospel, it also arises from what we believe in. Who is God to us? Is he like the God that the Pharisees followed? An authoritarian God, having a world view that power, loyalty and keeping rules and rituals are the key to a good life? Or is he like the God the disciples, represented by Peter, want to understand? The God who brings a totally new perspective into our lives through Jesus. Jesus says it's what we do and how we relate to other people that shows up who we are and how righteous we are. You know, it really matters that everyone understands and believes in our God. It matters what our politicians and religious leaders believe about God, about themselves and about society, because these beliefs influence what they say and do. My dear friends, regardless of all that's going on around us, in the world, in our own country, in our communities, we must strive every single day to live lives of faith, to keep stepping out in faith. But just as important, in fact, probably more important, we must strive to keep a clean heart. Well, I pray that we all do. God bless you all. Amen. Well, given the context of today's gospel and our need to live lives of faith and keep a clean heart, I think it appropriate to remember that if we do, when the roll is called up yonder, we'll be there. When the roll is called up yonder. Let's sing that now. Let us pray. Loving and sustaining Lord, we thank you for the beauty and bounty of your world and its ability to feed our minds and souls as well as our bodies. Give us strength, patience and perseverance. Give us generosity and imagination. Above all, give us the ability to keep our hearts clean and ground us in the certainty that your love is there for all. Lord, thank you, for now we go in love and peace to serve you and your people with the blessing of God, who is Father, Son and Holy Spirit. Amen.